All right, let's get it going here on a Monday. Welcome into the Blair and Barker Show, Monday 31st, 20. Why do I have these notes?
Do you have the wrong notes?
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Is the back leg line coming
up? Can we get those guys to find another studio for their baseball show?
Hold on. Do you have your lineup?
I do.
Oh, okay.
But Jeff Blair didn't take his notes. He left them for me.
Chris Bassett, eh?
Big weekend split for the Jays?
Yeah, I'll take
Season's
it.
Season's not over yet.
I'll take it. I went on the weekend.
Your baseball talk. Our fans and listeners,
I know,
they can only take a little bit of that.
I would say that it's just two wins and two losses, and don't look at the box scores.
I got to see Scherzer chuck it. That was cool.
Oh, you got to see the first and last pitches of his Jays career.
Maybe.
There you go. Jays talk.
New segment.
Really close to Jets talk.
Jays talk is a good segment. Mm-hmm.
Wherever you're watching and listening, live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours, where if we look at the standings, the Toronto Maple Leafs in a comfortable position atop the Atlantic Division with just 8 games to go, 3 huge points up on Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers. Boys, it's there for the taking.
Mm. It sure
That's
is
all
there.
You got for me is
Well, Sam doesn't ever like feeling openly good. That would be against his principles as a Leafs fan.
I think this weekend, sort of, not weekend, but Thursday into Sunday was a pretty perfect microcosm of Leaf fandom in this era.
Mm-hmm. I'm thrilled.
Where you lose a really, you know, crappy game to the San Jose Sharks. We have to tie it late to even get a point. And then they have a pretty impressive back-to-back against the Kings, who never lose at home. And then they beat the Ducks, who don't suck as bad as they used to. It's the second half of back-to-back.
Yeah, they still kind of suck a little bit
still
less.
A bit.
But they're not as sucky as they once were.
No,
I would say they're heading in a better direction than they have.
You can see a future for them.
Listen,
for
they've
sure.
had top picks. Yeah. They've got good players. Yeah. They're on the cusp of breaking into not only being regular NHL players, but maybe of some of them top players.
I could see them threatening playoffs next year.
Hard to take them serious in those
orange.
Why do they make them dress like
those
that?
Outfits are hard to take.
Pylons out there.
It's hard to take them serious.
So I thought, as we had mentioned, because we did the show last night against Anaheim, but we did reflect enough on Saturday night versus L.A. That was a big test, guys.
Yeah.
Coming off, as Sammy mentioned, a game where, okay, what happened against San Jose? Mm-hmm. Left a lot of question marks going into the weekend, and 4 out of 4 points when it's all said and done. They got the job done.
They did. And, you know, I don't know where you rank their best games of the season, but I thought that win over L.A. was in the conversation of their 5-10 best wins, probably 5 best wins.
Oh, top. I can argue it's the best.
Yeah, you liked it.
Really?
Yeah, top 3 for sure.
They didn't give up
And
much.
I can give you a strong argument under the circumstances of a horrific night in goal for Joseph Woll and just an inability to look anything like a contender up until the last 5 minutes in San Jose, to go into L.A. against a team with a top record at home was a big win.
Top record at home, you know, I think the numbers like them as the best defensive team in the league. So you weren't going to get much of a sniff at 5-on-5, but I thought they still played with them. Their special teams was really good. They got saves when they needed it. There was a lot to like and feel encouraged about, I thought. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, go ahead.
We'll go to Craig Berube on his thoughts Saturday night versus the LA Kings.
Our special teams, you know, PK and power play got us a goal each. That's a difference in the game. I thought it was pretty tight 5-on-5, you know, both ways. And PK did a good job, got a shorty, and our power play came through when we needed him to.
You know, we always forecast towards the playoffs, and we always talk about what the games look like. And that one, to me, looks so much like a lot of those Bruins games they've played in the first round against them, or the Lightning games where it's a 2-1 game, it's a 3-2 game. And just the lack of patience they've had in years past that lead to mistakes and them trying to cheat a little bit. you know, they didn't generate very much, I don't think, for the first two periods of that game. And like you said, the Kings do a great job of locking it down. But I thought they were really patient, great defensively. The shot clock was high, but I didn't think it was a ton of quality chances for the Kings. And for them to come out and led the way by the two stars, Matthews and Marner, who were quiet for a lot of that game, came out in the third and were both fabulous. Mm-hmm. That's a playoff-type game, playoff-type win that you can kind of build on for me.
The juice they get off their specialty teams now is something like, even if they don't necessarily score on the first power play that they... But if they generate energy, it seems to kind of transfer into 5-on-5. And for whatever reason, like they cannot get out of the gate early enough 5-on-5 for me just yet. It may be coming, and maybe the last night where you got three goals from three different lines might be a start for them. But they. Saturday night, like, I don't know, was it 2 4-on-3s? And they're like, they have multiple opportunities and they cashed in on it. But I'm not holding my breath that they're going to get those type of looks in the playoffs for me. So 5-on-5, it's got to improve still.
Yeah, for sure. You know, back to the specialty teams first, I think Berube deserves some credit here for sticking with the 5-forward power play long enough for it to find itself. You know, in the past, there's coaches who are like, we'll put it out there until it does a bad thing, and then we'll go, okay, well, we don't embarrass ourselves. We'll pull it off the rink. You know, he's stuck with it, and I think Mitch Marner has grown increasingly comfortable in that spot, and I think as he's gotten more comfortable moving off the blue line and trusting Nylander to swing up and Austin to swing up. Now it's like...
He's more involved.
It engages everyone.
At times, they don't get him the puck enough. Sometimes, and then he can get lost. But yeah, it seems like everybody seems to be getting looks and touches right now, and everybody's involved, but that guy has to quarterback it back there.
Yeah,
but even like he does it with his movement sometimes by, you know, you call an exchange as a forward by moving towards someone, saying, you know, I'm coming to your spot, you got to come to mine. So I think he does a good job of that, and 4-on-3, 5-on-3, they're attacking, they're threatening in, and all of a sudden it feels like if you have to honor the shot and stop them, and it's opening up seams. So, yes, full marks for that. But back to the 5-on-5 thing, they're still not creating a ton. They're still not outplaying teams 5-on-5, but they played a pretty good Kings team, so not a lot of teams outplaying the Kings at 5-on-5.
Still slow starts sometimes for Austin and that line.
Yeah, just that line in general I don't think has been particularly good. And I think that's why
the Matthews line?
Yeah, I didn't love them against the Sharks. They got caved in pretty good against Celebrini. I thought they were pretty quiet for most of the Kings game until the third period.
Yeah.
They were good against the Ducks. They had a lot of great shifts against
I
the Ducks.
Maybe the back half of that Kings game,
but
it was their game.
I think we talked about this on Friday. We didn't talk about this on Friday, but something came out during our show where neither of them practiced after the long game against the Sharks, where they played a bunch of minutes and all this stuff. I think it was talked about a lot, and you know that didn't. I didn't love that.
Was that 25?
Yeah.
Which one?
They both played over 25
against the Sharks.
Yeah, against the Sharks.
Yes.
So they both didn't go to practice the next day. I understand now. Whatever. But the optics of your captain and your second best player or your first best player, however you want to look at it, not going to practice the day after a loss to one of the worst teams in the league, to me doesn't rub the... So you kind of, if you're going to have that treatment, you got to have to come out and kind of put your foot down. And to give them credit, they absolutely did it against the Kings and they won them the game at the end. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
You know,
for me, it's like, you're just trying to get everyone, we're done coaching through message sending and morals, and we're just trying to be fresh.
So what you're saying is we're really down to like the big four scoring, or it's kind of over.
Well,
right.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean?
I'm just saying that like
Domi got him a goal yesterday.
And it's great, but
Lorenz
like,
scored the winner.
Will there be some consistency with it? Will there? I saw a power play the other night where they sucked all the 2 minutes up, and
and
Max is feeling it too, and I think to your point, like there's not going to be many more lessons here.
No.
There's not going to be more message sending. No one's getting benched if they make a bad play. It's roll the dice and hope the big boys show up and carry the offense, and you get great goaltending, and some of the guys can bounce one off their ass and occasionally come up with a same recipe, I think, going in.
I don't know that it's different on many other hockey teams, if any other hockey teams. The only thing that I think used to be the case for Toronto was that you didn't trust that you could put the third or fourth line on the ice and have win a shift or get a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And Lorenz gets one for them the other night. I feel like Berube trusts his bottom six a bit more, maybe not to score, but trust putting him on the ice. So maybe that's the start of something where you feel like, okay, these guys aren't going to win me shifts, but if they just don't lose them, we can rest up the big guys for a bit.
And we've got some marquee games coming up for the Leafs, including two more against Florida, one against Tampa Bay. Columbus will not be an easy task here on Saturday.
Saturday night against Columbus.
Yeah, after Wednesday's big test. Yeah. So there's plenty of meat on the bone here, on how you're going to feel about this club.
Still one left against Montreal, who's going to be fighting for their playoff lives. Carolina on the second half of back-to-back on Masters Sunday at 5 o'clock.
And we're working
it. Did anybody look at a calendar? Like, the schedule makers, like, pick up a calendar.
Masters Sunday at 5.
Oh, my God.
He's going to be on 16.
I'm not sure I've ever wanted to watch anything other less than that Leafs game. Give me a break.
We could do that panel naked and no one would know. No one would know.
We could do a Masters panel.
Yes.
We could just be like an alternate channel to the golf channel.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Anyways, but they still have, what you're saying is true. They still have some good tests left,
but you know, today is March 31st. The Leafs play between now and April 8th two hockey games. So they have a stretch here where they come home.
Yep.
They can sleep in their own bed. Both those games are at home. This is like a little rest period for the Leafs. Hopefully, gear up. It does get busier. Mm-hmm. Two back to backs in the following week. But you know, they're going to watch these other teams rack up points. It does seem like at Buffalo versus Detroit to end the season, we're going to need points there.
The huge 4 points right there.
And it...
So no time to rest anybody?
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at is like it feels like this thing is going to be pinned down. In the past, we have been critical of, you know, they've been going for personal records or whatever at the end and not just resting guys. They may go all out to get a team like Ottawa who... Do you want to go all out and be overexerted, you know, to play a pretty good, excited Sens team?
There's no good option.
I don't even want to pay any energy towards where they think that they might match up best.
Yep.
The only thing that you could hope for is Florida and Tampa Bay maybe beating the crap out of each other first round.
Several high ankle sprains.
Yeah.
Right?
Ideally.
Yep.
And that's it in a nutshell.
So can we just quickly go back to the power play? And, you know, I can't remember a flip in confidence in a power play that I've seen with these. The way they snap it around right now is so impressive and so, like, direct. I'm just hoping and praying that they can keep, like, is it too early for them to be this hot?
It is. The only reason I'm saying no, it's not too early, is they have tanked around this time in years where they've sucked in the playoffs.
Because it was February of 1 month. I think it was last year where they had the 50% power play. It was the best in the history of the league, and then they never scored another one for 2 months. Like, next year, ideally, I'd like them to get hot at the start of April with this power play, but I'm just really hoping that they can keep this momentum going to the first round because it's unbelievable. It's an actual threat for once. I think it's third in the league since January 1st and fifth overall now. So
I'm just weary of putting too much emphasis on power plays. I get it. They're
for sure.
They're
you got to play well 5 on 5.
Just really hard to come by in a Stanley Cup playoff game, and the calls that we've seen, there's been some atrocious calls lately out of the Leaf game that we've watched. Like I shake my head at some of the calls now. Matthew Nyes for roughing.
Oh my God.
Last night.
That Anaheim game. I don't think we've
like what are you watching? Who's coming in? Who's the aggressor in that situation? And
guy comes to get Nyes after a clean hit. Why is Nyes getting
2 minutes for being too strong?
Drove me the most mad about that was the ref came from like out of screen and like points over the top, like he was on top of it. And he's like, just one. Looking at that and saying just one,
yeah,
it's just unacceptable. Yeah. Like it's just, I would be irate.
Totally, yes.
Just one might be a message sending call in the first
in the
five,
first.
Seven sure. minutes sure. of a hockey game.
Sure.
And that's it.
Take both.
Everything is going to be as equal as it comes unless it's potentially a scoring play in our dealings of recent history.
Mm.
So it's great that they've got it could win them a game. No question it could win them a game. But if you're only looking at two or three and you can go one for two or one for three, that's great. But hang your hat on that as being yep. the difference maker. No, it has to be on pace of play over 60 minutes,
yeah.
five on
the,
five.
The one thing I will say is in the past, like recent years, there have been a lot, you know, almost as many power play opportunities per game in the playoffs as regular season. This year in the regular season, power play opportunities are down significantly. Each team averaged 3.02 last year, 3.07 power plays last 2 years. This year it's 2.7.
Really? So, yeah, that's a big drop.
It is. So every team is, you know, every couple games you have one less power play. You know, so in the playoffs as it tightens up, you know, you may be looking at, you might get two.
Yeah.
Two and a half, you know, as an average. So, yeah, certainly 5-on-5 will be crucial. You know, the Matthews line and the Tavares line have to win their minutes because mm-hmm. you don't feel like your third line is going to win your minutes.
I will ask you guys about the third line they put together. Like Nick Robertson, you called it. You said there's just no way that he plays Saturday night.
Yeah.
They put Yarncroc with.
But you think it's too early in terms of gearing up for the playoffs? You
Does
still like to
out?
See? Well, just in general, I
think.
Well,
he'll play, I think, but.
Just in general, because there's Myers out there too. And yeah. I'm kind of siding on your side a little bit towards, you know, don't let this guy sit too long.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and that's, you know, thinking of playoffs, if you lose a couple games in playoffs, you're going to lose a couple games in playoffs. That happens. Mm-hmm. You're not going to score a bunch, and there's going to be a game where they go, okay, we got to get Robertson in. Mm-hmm. You know, no one's scoring, we're going to get him in. So he's going to play in playoffs, and then Myers, I think inevitably, someone gets hurt or you lose a couple or whatever, he's going to play games. So you don't want to go, I don't know when Myers' last game
it's been a while
played was. It's been a long time. So you just want to keep him up to speed. You know, the treadmill's going pretty fast right now to try to throw him back in.
But what I was going to ask, do you like the look of Lott and Domi and Yarncroc as a line? Because I thought it did have a couple moments where it looked like,
March
10th. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like three capable NHLers playing together. That it did give me a bit of hope that it could be a third line for them.
Yarncroc is...
He is what he is.
A guy. He is what he is, but he can skate. His pace of play is strong.
Mm-hmm.
He can penalty kill. And he's got, maybe if I'm not mistaken, close to 100 playoff games under his belt.
93.
That is that is a big number, guys.
I don't know.
I don't think he's paid to score, but occasional one would help this time around. But That's stuff that you have to consider as well. The other thing too, guys, is, and we've agreed on this, is they're going to fit Pacioretty somewhere in.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to the Lorenz goal last night, I said, save me that clip on the show because of Holmberg's work down low.
Yeah.
And I said, this one would be a good one if it ended up in the net, and it did.
Yeah.
But like, that's just something that few guys who aren't 200 plus can do.
He's also, we talked about him drawing penalties, you know, so he hangs onto the puck and he draws penalties, you know, and on a fourth line, that's all you're asking him to do. Forecheck, be that guy.
Yeah.
He's very likely in. It's really hard to make a case that Nick Robertson plays game one.
Yeah.
And I think someone else has to come out if Pacioretty comes in.
Yeah.
Who that is.
Yeah, the only logical one might be Yarncroc or Holmberg.
Yeah.
That's a tough call.
It is
a tough
call.
It's not Lorenz. Lorenz isn't coming out. You need Kampf. You need Kampf in there as a centerman, as a natural centerman. You can't take him out of the lineup.
Other thing, though, that Yarncroc has is he kills and Holmberg doesn't right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if that's a guy that you have a little bit more utility for, then Holmberg's in tough too. But I do think they'll use all these guys. And also, what's your level of confidence that Pacioretty can play a 7-game series? You know, he plays a couple of games. He usually needs to take a knee for a minute.
Yeah.
I just think it's get him in there and see if he can physically do what he did earlier on in the season. That was huge.
Yeah.
And I never saw it coming, but I tipped my hat to him on many occasions this season when he pissed people off, man. He was sneaky, sneaky dirty.
Yeah, if you can get a week of the Rafi Torres version of, of Max Pacioretty that you got at the start of the year, even if you get one series out of it, it's a bonus. So
two or three games might be enough in a series.
Yeah.
One or two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they're timed right. Mm-hmm.
And you'd love it to be game one. You'd love for him to be in there, and that would be a pretty stout-looking. You'd have a third line of, you know, Pacioretty, Lawton, and, you know, someone else heavy, whoever you like there, if it's Yarncroc or Holmberg or whoever, but it can be a pretty heavy line.
Can I ask about the Carlo fight on Saturday night?
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
I loved it.
Okay.
I thought it was, he took a couple. But he, you know what? He smiled in the penalty box, blood on his face.
Oh, we got the tell here.
He pushed forward here. This was not Nashville where he took three punches to the chest.
He goes right back and leans in.
He had purpose there. that kid hit him with a couple of uppercuts, but he hung in there, man.
Yeah.
To me, that's tons of respect for Carlo.
It's a good sign. Didn't know he could or would do it, which is, you know, half the battle.
He didn't stop.
Yeah,
I have to say that, you know, as a fan, that really, I can only imagine what that did for his teammates, because as a fan, I'm like, I loved him already. I thought he was really playing well, but that warmed me up even more. I'm just like, well, I didn't know that he was going to do that.
Well, we've sat here before.
Well, I don't think he knew he was going to do that too, but I just, there was no hesitation. And I think, when you're in that position, you got to think quickly. Mm-hmm. And he didn't hesitate. It wasn't like he spent a quick second going, am I going to do this or I'm not going to do that?
Yeah.
You actually go through a bit of a thought process prior to the game that I'm on a short fuse. If anybody challenges me, I'm not taking any crap, and I'm going right after him.
I wonder if that stems from the McCarron thing where he was like, I can't do that next time or whatever. I wonder if he had a little talk with
maybe
himself.
Maybe listen to our show.
Yeah. Maybe he heard me say, don't take those three punches in the chest there. Like, stop at one. And you don't even have to fight like that, but you can certainly cuff a guy back one time. Mm.
Two things on that. I mean, he saw, was it Malott? He saw that he was a little shorter. Maybe he didn't know that he was a UFC guy's brother.
Didn't know.
He's actually not. That Malott's 6'5",
No, he's a little shorter than.
He admitted after that he did not know.
So we have. I actually loved Berube's.
Brother, he's 6'5", 210
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he looked a little shorter.
Yeah. Well,
anyways.
Carlos Dahl.
You're 6'6". Everybody looks shorter to you.
Hey, well, I'm not standing there staring down the barrel of those punches. It just looked like there was punch numbers. Anyways. I love Berube. He got asked about it after the game. This is an exchange with actually Luke Fox asked him. But clip five, we could play that.
11 different Leafs have fought for you guys. Drop the gloves.
I'm teaching them a few things.
what do you think it does for the group, though, that you have guys that are willing to do that?
It gets very important you stand up for yourself, you know, and not everybody. First and foremost, I don't expect people to fight. Stand up for yourself, and the guys do that. We push back, you know. You're not going to get pushed around.
Yeah, I wish 25 years ago I didn't have the pressure to have thought that I needed to fight every time I got into a confrontation.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, today you could look like a hero with like
one every 10 games,
or just. Getting into being the first aggressive guy into a pile, leading the charge on whatever you need to say to your opponent. Mm-hmm. Like there's many ways to Berube's point that you could look like you're standing up for yourself and your teammates and you're not taking any crap. I'm not eating a crap sandwich tonight from you or you. Mm-hmm. So let's go. Mm-hmm. And I thought Carlo did that
yeah,
to the T Saturday night.
That's great. That Jeff Mellott, I was looking him up while we're talking about him. He played 9 minutes, 5 minutes, and then that game he played almost 17 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. The coach must have liked the Carla fight for him.
But he's an older guy too. It's not like he's 21 or 22, isn't he?
Oh, he's 28. That was his fourth NHL game.
Fourth NHL game.
He was looking for one. You know, like that's a point you're trying to make when you're 6'5" and trying to crack
at that age. You don't know if that could have been your first and only fight in the NHL. You don't know. I hope he can turn this into a couple of years, 3 years. But at that age, you're on borrowed time as it is right now. So I hope he can make the most of it. But who knows?
Good on him. Let's listen to Brandon Carlo and get his thoughts on the fight there. Carlo, clip one.
I don't know. It just happens fast. I was right there in front of the net. He asked if I wanted to go. So I said yes. Good on his part. I think it's good for me, too, to step up in those ways occasionally. You know, I'm not much of a fighter, but I enjoy, you know, doing things for my team. So whatever is needed of me, I will.
Were you aware that his brother is a UFC fighter? Did anyone tell you that?
Not at all. But knowing that information, I'm thankful I'm not knocked out right now. So that's good to know. And I'll definitely do a little bit more research next time.
Carlo sounds like a CEO.
One of the great hockey stories ever told by Colby Armstrong, the Alexander Degg, check the game notes.
Check the game notes.
That's a check the game notes right there. Check the game notes. Check the last name. Guy's fourth NHL game looking to fight you. Yeah. Keep an eye.
Nobody checks game notes anymore. Nobody.
Stat pack that just sits there.
Nobody.
Guys check their own points. That's about it.
If he did that a few more times, Carlo, he'd get next level room. Mm-hmm.
So just the clip we played from Berube before that, about like that we're not going to back down, and 11 different guys have fought this year. And just, do you think that's like, that's been a noticeable part of this? Cause I think that was a huge, remember with the Keefe, like we always used to have these conversations, like they wouldn't stand up for each other. And like, that was a huge narrative that we talked about. Like, I feel like that was our first 3 years. It's all better. We ever talked about.
It's no question to your point. It's better.
Yeah.
The thing is though, they didn't do it enough still to carry any type of real reputation this season.
Not a reputation, no. But before they had a reputation for definitely not doing it.
You know, they had tough nights.
Okay.
I buy that.
Yeah, they're not as big of a pushover as they have been in the past.
Fair enough. It does bother me, and just this is totally separate, that their fourth line of Holmberg, Kampf, Lorenz, where they have no fights, like zero.
Yeah, that's the nicest group of big guys you could ever find.
Fourth line in hockey.
Lorenz is another guy that like...
That drives me nuts. Just once, get mad. Come on. Just, love the player.
Like he's just generally a very happy person.
I love him.
I think he's too happy to be a Leaf. He's too happy to be a Leaf. He's like, I'm not fighting. I don't want to screw this up.
I would love to see him mad or pissed off or something. And Nyes is coming around, guys. He's the nerd and Spider-Man who just decided, like, he's just starting to figure out he's got superpowers.
Peter Parker.
I was going to say
Peter
Clark Kent. But Clark Kent's Superman, right?
He's
Peter Parker.
So glad
he's now starting to go, okay, I can do this.
You can.
You
can grow into it. It's
and
great.
I don't know if he'll ever have that.
By the way, he's got 11 guys that fought for the Leafs.
You
got
to have a bit of a screw loose to do it, guys. I got to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't like doing it, but felt some obligation. 20 years ago, I felt like you had to do it once in a while. Now you certainly don't have to do it, which is a lot more fun.
I'm trying to find... I saw a list of the guys who did it, but trust me, it's 11.
Okay.
What was it?
Ducks game?
Well, yeah, the Ducks. Just wanted to touch on Nyes because you mentioned him there.
Yeah.
I thought he was brilliant last night. Physical, going to the front of the net, gets the goal taken away. Maybe we'll talk
Walked
about
Strome.
Oh my God. Maybe we'll talk about the high sticks after the break, but we are kind of bordering on him. Like he's really blossoming. If he improves as much as he improved from last year to this year, from this year to next year, like we're on the precipice of one of the elite power forwards in the game here. Like he is getting better.
Better
and stronger every game to me.
Yeah.
Well said.
Can he turn himself into a point-of-game guy?
I think so.
Maybe. I don't know.
He's not far off. Was he going to have 50-some points this year?
55.
Yeah. So if he ends up 75, I mean, is that close enough?
That's a big jump.
It is.
That's a big jump. And can he do it without Marner potentially next year? If it's
Him and Matthews seem to have some
decent
Matthews chemistry.
Matthews has been a lot better passing the puck, too, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm noticing his work around the net, too. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit more patient. Sometimes he gets all horny to do a wraparound and
maybe look for a stick in there instead of trying to stuff it through a pad.
Sometimes you like the constant wraparounds to me are kind of junior A-ish a little bit, but because they don't necessarily like he's so skilled that 1 out of 10 he could stuff one in.
I like that they create rebounds and chaos. But I like what a wrap creates.
But I like the fact that he's holding on, his head's up now, he's looking for knives at the right time off a post, or he can send it back to the point. To me, like that will drive his assists up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and postpone possession time. Yeah. To help them keep the puck down there and, you know, tire out the other team's D. Then if they could just change in the O zone once this year, that would really help them.
I don't think that's happened.
No, Willie changed going the wrong way every single shift against Anaheim. I mean, I think maybe every single shift.
Wasn't his best game.
No. And
we did a pack on Willie with the bad penalty and the turnover that led to Anaheim's first goal. And then the change.
Yeah.
I didn't even mention the change last night. I was just like, I didn't want to pile on the guy.
Yeah.
But his change to the bench after he turned the puck over.
Yeah.
Was.
Turned it over going one
as bad
on four
as anything.
And then sauntered to the bench. And yeah, we took some heat from people being like, hard on Willie or whatever. And it's like, we didn't CGI the video.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
We showed the video clips.
He's going to have off nights and you're allowed to talk about it.
Yeah. And he is. That's right.
Did you watch the video on him, like to the Willie song? Who was that on the weekend?
No.
What are you talking about?
Oh, they did a highlight pack of him to the song Willie.
Sing it.
don't make me sing it,
buddy. Come on, we want to hear it.
With the voice Willie, it's a 70s song or it's an 80s song on Willie. I'm finding it during this commercial break.
Okay, good.
All right? And I'm going to find the lyrics. Sammy.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But
do you guys not watch our network?
Our
network did it.
I don't believe you.
I don't.
It was like a two-minute Willie, I'm Great Willie song.
I don't think that happened.
But it was overserved?
Yeah, maybe. Potentially.
Can someone tweet these guys this information for me and do my homework on the commercial break?
I will tell you the 11 Leafs out of 5.
Okay.
Domi.
Yep.
McCabe.
Yep.
Benoit.
Reeves. Riley. I don't remember. Who did he fight?
Yeah, I remember.
Scott Laughton.
Nyes.
Philip Myers. Nyes. Holmberg. Carlo. And there's one more, and you guys will never get it.
Matthews.
Nope.
Who?
Ekman Larson?
Nope. Connor Dewar.
Oh, the dude.
Remember? Who was it that he scrapped?
Oh, yeah, Farabee.
Yeah, and it was like, oh my God.
And they gave the thumbs up to each other in Philly.
Oh, yeah, you hated that one too.
It's fine.
That. No, you didn't like it.
It's fine. It's 2025 now. We all get ribbons now. Sammy.
Well, I'll just sing the Willie song for you.
And to take us out, the Willie
song. The Willie song when we return to Real Kipper and Born.
Hey, it's Blake Murphy.
And I'm Matt Bonner.
Join us weekday mornings at 11 as we break down all things Toronto Raptors.
It's the Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
So the group was sweet.
Mm.
70s. Remember Ballroom Blitz?
Yes.
What was
absolutely.
The movie?
Wayne's World.
Thank you.
Ballroom Blitz.
Okay, now
Blitz.
All right, but won't do Little Willie?
That's the same band?
That's an extremely famous song. Little Willie, I've never heard of. Uh-oh, I don't know if we're allowed to do that.
Do we have the rights to this?
I don't think that's allowed, Kipper.
We can't play it?
I don't think so. I don't know, Derek, what do you think? he said he's going to call somebody.
All right. I think you're...
We can only pay 10 seconds, so you go.
Okay, I'll get the best 10 seconds in.
Oh, my God.
Okay, ready?
Ready.
Count me down.
Okay. Big time's up.
All right, we're good.
What?
That's perfect. We got the song. It's great. So they did, like, a montage to that?
You know, I expected you to, like, play the song and me be like, oh, the Willie song.
No.
And my reaction is still, I got it.
Never heard that one.
Little Willie.
Well, he's Big Willie Styles.
Wouldn't know anything about that.
All right. Where do you want to go? Tavares, high stick.
Let's do the high stick thing.
Do the high sticks.
Although it'll be a very short conversation, I think, because Kip and I have had this conversation.
Oh, really?
The Marner one was high stick.
I just really wish that we would have kept video review to maybe a puck going in or not. Mm. But it's just spread out to all this stuff. Like, the official's there. Mm. There's no excuse not to get the call right you're that close.
In both cases, the linesman was
Am I being unfair?
No.
To go back to the official and say, you know, if you would have got it right to begin with, we wouldn't have to stop and wait.
But
everybody's watching. And
he also erred on the side of let the play go, and if they challenge it, they can still get this call right instead of just stopping it and killing the rush, well, getting it wrong
I get the basic principle of the most important thing is getting it right. Mm. But there has to be a way of getting it right and, like, not bringing the game to a screeching halt.
Yeah. Turns out there's not.
I think it's absolutely amazing that on back-to-back nights, those two
crazy.
Well, first of all, that's crazy. But that those two identical plays were different calls. Like, it was the exact same play. The Matthews one.
No, Marner's stick was higher than.
No way.
Yeah, it was.
Matthews is 6'4", and he was.
They do use shoulder, though.
It's shoulder.
But his hand was pointing up when it made contact. I'm sorry for hitting my mic.
Marner's stick was higher.
So you guys don't think Matthews was a high stick?
I think
he disguised it better.
Yeah, I think it probably was.
That's as stunned as I've been sitting on my couch because you usually have a pretty good feel if it's a goalie interference or an offside. Yeah. This one's a little bit more murky.
Yeah.
But to me, that's as stunned as I've been that they didn't overturn one. Yeah. I couldn't believe they overturned it. When you're 6'4" and your stick is sticking up like that and you're looking up at the puck, that to me, spirit of the rule, is a high stick all day. Mm-hmm. So I think they got one right, one wrong. That's my summation of it.
Yeah, that may be the case, but the fans are sitting there going, they owed us one.
To me, though, it was called no high stick on the ice. Mm-hmm. And I do think that the camera angles play a lot of tricks on us. And it's tough to get the perception. Yeah. And you would think that, you know, the chip and the puck, we could get like a height from the ice, some sort of measurements on this sort of stuff. But
Mitch's stick was stretching up higher than Austin's was.
It was clearer that for sure.
Clear.
Can we just talk about how unbelievable of a play that was by Mitch? With like a high stick.
Which one?
No, like to backhand whack, like out of the air to cycle down below. Like, that's an amazing play.
That was.
He's so close every game to this incredible human highlight reel.
It's out of this world.
It's getting really close.
Who was the one that he kicked it? Like the back heel pass to Tavares that he had earlier this year? Like that's an insane amount of skill to be able to do that backhanded like that. Anyways. I thought it was a high stick.
He's having a pretty decent year.
Yep. I put a stat in here. Mitch Marner recorded his fourth 90-point season, became the second player in Maple Leaf history to reach the mark in four more campaigns, joining Daryl Sittler, who did it 5 times.
David Amber last night wanted to do a who's the MVP of the Leafs season, but we didn't get around to it.
I like this one.
Do you?
I do.
You know why we didn't do it?
Because
who else would you pick?
Yeah. Outside of goalie comp. Okay, well, then we'll do non-goalie comp. No goalie. Yeah.
Not even close, bud.
Still Marner?
Who's your second pick?
I think you can make a conversation for Tavares. I really do. I think he can be in the conversation. Willie's right there, too. But, like, obviously it's Marner. Outside of goalies, Tanev's in the conversation.
Willie's 11 points, maybe a dozen points behind Mitch.
Yeah, but he has 42 snipes.
Yeah, a lot of goals.
But it's not even close.
It's not, I agree.
It's not even close. I think it's close.
But I do value goals, you know.
Value goals. Premium. Mitch kills penalties.
Oh, 100%. Okay. I get it.
Mitch takes all the key defensive zone draws.
Well, he doesn't take them. He's on the ice for them. Tavares takes all the key defensive zone drafts.
And wins them.
But I bet you Mitch has got 50 more faceoffs in his own zone than Tavares.
For sure.
Okay. The first guy over the boards for a defensive zone faceoff is Mitch. It's not Tavares. It's not Willie. It's Austin when he's on, when he's Austin and Mitch.
Yep.
There's no other top 10 scorer that does that more than Marner.
I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Not anybody.
It could be. I mean, it feels like Jack Eichel plays a lot. Is he a top 10 scorer?
I have no idea.
He might be the closest guy.
Feels like Reinhardt would do that a lot. Is he a top 10 scorer? Like, there's guys that do.
Not McKinnon, not those guys.
I don't know if it's true or not, so I'm not going to say. Hey, listen, buddy, I'm saying he's the MVP.
If I'm telling you it's true.
Are you sure? I don't know.
Well, look it up.
I don't know. What do you want me to look up?
Defensive zone face-offs.
That's a Borny job, because I have no idea how to do that.
Top players.
When you pull up that website, that's like, what is it, money? I'm like, this is the most intimidating thing on earth. I was trained to do this.
Just going back, these are the things that aren't as sexy, I think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you watch it enough. That's like, it's not even close who Craig Berube's most valuable player is this season.
Sure.
Is that a better way to put it?
I would argue.
You would have my vote for sure.
I think that Mitch Marner is the MVP, but I would argue that John Tavares has been incredibly important for the Leafs this year. And I think he's in the conversation. I do.
Yes, third.
No, I think second.
If you want to go.
Second.
I have an argument for second. Third.
Austin Matthews Tavares. Has been a shell of himself all year, missed monster amount of the season. Yeah. John Tavares played first line center. He's got, 35 goals in his 35 season, the last year of his contract. I mean, the amulet man has been unbelievable. He really is. Like, I know we like to not.
He's been as consistent as he's been throughout his whole career. He's still going to end up a point a game guy like he did the moment he started cooking with the Islanders, which is incredible now because he's 34 years old and he's at the end of his career.
I just think it's a little bit. I'm not going to say disrespectful, but I don't think we give him the due that he maybe earns on this show, and I'm part of that. And I feel a little bit, but the season that he's having this year is truly remarkable. And he deserves a ton of credit for having the C stripped off him in training camp, coming out here and being better than he has been even in the years past. Like, he's having a better year this season than he has in years past. Willie's been better playing with him. I understand that. But it's been a fantastic,
top 30 in scoring.
Been a fantastic season for Tavares. He deserves a ton of credit. So anyways.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube on the former captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Just keeps battling and wins puck battles, that's the biggest thing for me is he wins so many battles with his stick, heavy stick, strong. He's so great and tight around the net, scoring goals. That's where he gets most of his goals. Face-off circle, he's one of the best in the league. You know, every night he's 50% or better, it seems like. It's all the little things he does that really make him a great player.
To Sam's point, Tavares is second in the NHL in puck battle wins this year, and he's top 10 in faceoff percentage.
That's MVP stuff, man.
You just hope that this is the year for him in the playoffs.
For sure.
The one knock against him is never been able to do it in the playoffs throughout his whole career.
Lack of playoff success. I think he's not.
Right?
He hasn't gone deep in the playoffs for sure. But he's still scored in the playoffs.
You can still have if he ends up with his 80 points. If he ends up with his 80 points, they don't have playoff success, then where are you on signing him next year and saying, I'm prepared now to go again with Tavares and Matthews as a 1-2 at center ice?
I'm not as bullish on that idea, on doing that, but if he's your third line center and he's making, five or less, Nah, then I'm into it, but you can't.
Who's your second line centerman?
Well, you'd have to go spend some money.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if anyone's out there that can fill that role or make a trade.
That would be a full power play guy, right?
What's that? This is someone that you would get like a
UFA? Yeah, a second guy would come in and be a power play guy. Mm-hmm. So would Tavares still hold his spot as a top power play guy?
We're so far down a road.
I'm just saying, though, that's the question that you have to ask, is that if you bring him back next year and you don't see him as your second line centerman, where are you on how much you pay him and what kind of role is he going to have?
Am I right in saying you don't see
him. I'm with you.
You don't want him.
I need to see, like, if I'm going to bring him back at $6 million, as many people want to, like, to me, that's a heck of a price for a third line centerman. Mm-hmm. But if he's scoring 60 points, can he still get 60 points as a third line centerman on the Toronto Maple Leafs?
It's a big ask. I mean,
you're on new grounds here.
He's got the most goals of any pending free agent.
Yeah, and he would play on the power play still.
Like, is this not kind of feeling like a Stamkos situation where we still like you, but we just can't show that we can win right
now?
Well,
they won with Stamkos, so, like, it's a different. I would say it's Stamkos.
Today, Sam, yesterday.
Yeah, for sure.
Not years ago. We're talking about today. They made the hard decision on Stamkos that we cannot. We need to freshen this thing up. We need new blood. We went and got Gensel.
You know what would be interesting is if the Leafs, I don't know if they don't sign Marner, they don't sign Tavares, but for some reason they've got this glut of salary cap money to spend, and we know they're a cap team, is if they didn't go out and just blow it on the most expensive UFA and went into the season and said, you know, let's see what shakes free over the course of the year. People get grumpy. All of a sudden Miller wants to go, or Rantanen's available, or later in the season. You don't have to spend the cap for game one.
But here's where I'll give full kudos to Tavares, is that you could end up being the New York Rangers and the Vancouver Canucks on the brinks of missing the playoffs. Like, Tavares helps you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, that matters too.
Whatever the case is, you can't argue over the last 7 years, Tavares didn't do his part to help you get in the playoffs. Can he help you win in the playoffs? Can he help you win a Stanley Cup? That part's unknown still, and he'll get another crack this spring.
Yeah.
But you can't underestimate that a John Tavares gets you in a very difficult 16-team league for playoffs.
Yeah. I long maintain the biggest what-if in the Leafs core four era is Tavares gets brained in game one by Corey Perry against Montreal. They end up losing by a goal in game seven. They win that Montreal series. It was the Canadian year, right? The Canadian division. Like,
they go on the power play goal. They get a save.
Exactly.
They get this. They get that.
You know, like, losing one guy away, or
losing him in that point of the series. That was the first game, the first 10 minutes, and they still won three games in the series. And they probably win one more if he's in the lineup, you'd like to imagine.
I think so. But anyway.
You'd like to imagine. Ugh.
But
now I'm just sad.
Tavares can help you. And that's why, if Tavares had the attitude that I'm going to go out there this summer and I'm going to make the most money and I'm going to put my services up for sale over 32 teams, someone's willing to pay him seven, maybe even eight.
Yeah.
So that's like, sure,
they paid Stamkos.
Yeah, it totally depends what he wants to do.
He can help me get in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he ain't going anywhere.
I don't know what his career earnings are. I can look that up pretty quick here, but, you know, he's made a lot of money, is my point.
90, a hun.
More. Tell you pretty quick here.
Definitely more.
He's made $103,064,299.
How much do the Leafs want to discount him?
How much do they want to ask him to take off?
Yeah, if they're going to keep him around in a bottom six forward scenario.
Yeah.
But why is he going to be in the bottom six? Like, if he comes back, I mean, he's better than, like, what other option are they going
to
have?
The idea is you have to be better too. You can't drive play.
You just can't keep going to the well. Yeah.
I get
Sammy.
It.
Sammy.
But who are you, like, I mean, you know.
That's your job.
Sam Bennett's not walking through that door here. Like, he's going
to. Or you make Sam Bennett walk through the door. You make somebody.
We all know he's signing in Florida for eight times eight.
I'd rather you overpay Sam Bennett.
You just can't keep going to the well.
I know.
I get it. And
that's
why you're not as bullish as probably a lot of people, because it's okay. You can still be a 35-goal scorer. You can still have a great season. But it's just not the right fit. Any longer.
And I'm not totally against what you guys are saying either. I understand that perspective, but it just gets a little scary if it's no Marner or Tavares. Like, where's that?
I know.
150 points of production coming from?
Absolutely.
Anyway,
someone's got to shoot it in.
And all of a sudden, making the playoffs is a huge accomplishment.
100%.
Right?
Yeah, then you're
got to shoot it in the net.
Then you're the Habs all of a sudden trying to make it.
All right.
Good hour, boys.
Good hour, Sammy. You're calling me out on my stats. I need my analytics guy to back me up here.
Yeah, Derek was giving me some stuff in my ear, but I was unfocused. So I'll see.
Usually it's the other way around. All right, Eddie Strickland next. We go national on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.